I've been looking forward to this one today. Let's introduce Ted Wynn, and he is a staff writer at The Athletic. He's also the host of the Just Win podcast. Ted, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We've had you on in the past, and we know you excel at the X's and O's and really breaking stuff down. Let me just ask you right off the bat, Friday's performance by Brock Purdy, how did it grade out in your mind?
You know, I thought he played well overall. I mean, I think I think he's still kind of testing the waters. I always think Brock Purdy's always trying to, you know, see what kind of throws he got away with. And, you know, I think I started a little bit of controversy saying that third down pass to George Kittle, which he kind of just tossed it up, was lucky, which I thought it was. I mean, it was covered too. The linebacker dropped into the hole pretty deep, and he had to kind of throw a jump ball while getting hit, and it got converted. And I thought that pass was kind of lucky. But overall, I thought, you know, the operation was pretty good. Even the pass to Deebo Samuel, the one that got intercepted, it was a good process. It was cover one. He went to his best receiver versus a fifth-string corner, but unfortunately, Deebo couldn't get open, and the ball was tipped and intercepted, but that's just how things go sometimes. But, you know, I think overall he looks sharp, and I think he's ready for the season.
Ted, let me ask you this. We're all excited about the season, and I think Brandon Ayuk is an above-average receiver. We're all exhausted, but are you all at all shocked that Brock Purdy might take the field with no Brandon Ayuk? And what would the impact of that be on Brock Purdy?
Yeah, I think the thing with Brandon Ayuk is he offers something the Niners don't have with any other receiver on their roster, the ability to win outside against press coverage. They have a lot of receivers that can win inside. We know what Deebo Samuel could do with Yak. George Kittle works in the middle of the field. Juwan Jennings works in the middle of the field. But they don't have that outside field stretcher. Maybe, you know, Chosen Anderson could help out a little bit in that area, but you just can't do it the way Ayuk does it, who has been remarkably efficient and productive outside. So I don't know who else on that roster could replace Ayuk right now. You know, I think the Niners will be fine against more inferior teams with their system and running the ball and play action and those type of things that are going to help out the offense. But when they play the better teams and they need somebody to win outside on third down, it's going to be tough.
Ted Wynn joining us on 95.7 The Game, NFL staff writer at The Athletic NFL. He's also the host of the Just Win podcast. Right now, and I know it's going to be tough, but if let's say the 49ers get Williams in and get Ayuk in, is this team better than last year?
I think the hope for improvement comes on the defensive side of the ball, where they were pretty inconsistent last year, especially in run defense. And, you know, they're going back to their old system. They added Brandon Staley, so they hope there's some more cohesiveness on that side of the ball. And offensively, they can get better, because we have to remember how young Brock Purdy is. And I think, you know, him kind of faltering in the Super Bowl has to do more with experience. Just seeing those exotic looks, getting those reps in mind, knowing how to react to them, those are all things that come with experience. And Brock Purdy's going to be another year in the system, and we could expect him to get better in that area. But, you know, right now it's just going to be tough with those, you know, Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk not having any practice. But the defense is really going to have to step up and kind of lead the way while the offense kind of gets its footing, even if Ayuk and Trent Williams comes back.
Hey, speaking of the defense, what type of defense is this going to be under first-year defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen without the luxury of a Dre Greenlaw? What do you expect from this Niner defense?
Yeah, you know, I talked to some Niner coaches about how this defense could change. And, you know, Brandon Staley could come in, and he had a very different philosophy when he coached with the Rams and Chargers, and they were very adamant that they're still going to be an aggressive single-gap system, and hiring Nick Sorensen as their defensive coordinator is kind of representative that they want to go back to their foundation, that cover three Seattle system, and just be very cohesive and do that very well. But, yeah, I think, you know, Brandon Staley is going to offer some new ideas, and he's going to help them kind of change things up, and he's going to help in the game-planning aspect of it. So I think, you know, it's going to be a more cohesive defensive unit, and maybe we'll see some different changeups that can help from Brandon Staley.
Ted, obviously Trent Williams isn't in camp, but it seems like they'll get him in at some point. But it also, just listening to the fans, it feels like there is no way under the sun that this team can play without Trent Williams. And I guess my question to you is, what would it look like with Trent Williams compared with without Trent Williams? Why would it be so catastrophic if they didn't reach an agreement with Trent Williams and let's say he missed a couple games to start the season?
Well, we have to look at how this team is built. This team is built on valuing skill players and drafting those guys high and putting they put less value and less resources into the offensive line. So the offensive line is kind of made up of guys that are drafted a little later, free agents, and the scheme helps them out tremendously. And the skill players around them allow Brock Purdy to get rid of the ball very quickly. But that group is kind of anchored and led by Trent Williams, who's an all-pro. So when you take Trent Williams out of the equation, this offensive line is very average to below average, even though I think they drafted pretty well this year and there's some potential with the rookies this year. It's still just not a very proven group, and Trent Williams just kind of blosters this group by a ton. And not having him in, you might make the argument that Trent Williams could be the most important player on this offense because of what he provides for this offensive line and this group overall. And when you look at the statistics, Brock Purdy's stats doesn't drop a lot when some players miss games. But when Trent Williams misses a game, he really becomes a much less efficient quarterback.
Now, let me ask you this about McCaffrey, because we saw all last year and the last couple of years, I mean, Kyle runs him into the ground, and I get it. But my biggest takeaway from the preseason for the Niners was J.P. Mason. Like, he's a runner. Do you expect him, Ted, to get not more of a bigger role, but more touches to kind of spell McCaffrey this season?
I would hope so. I mean, you know, we knew that when McCaffrey was traded to the Niners, he came with some injury concerns. And he played all of last year. You know, he did deal with some injuries, but he didn't miss much time or miss snaps at all. And, you know, to count on him to do that 2 years in a row, especially with his history, I would say isn't a good deal to bet on. So I would think if you were the Niners, you would really try to limit his carries this year. You know, I know he was going after the big stats last year. He was, you know, going for some records. But this year, I think, you know, especially with how well or how good Mason has looked, I think you really got to try to limit his carries and try to go with a little bit more of a running back by committee type of approach. And if Brock Purdy is ready to take another step up as a passer, you could count on him to pass a little bit more and maybe just take the load off McCaffrey and try to save him for the postseason. Because if you're the Niners, that's your goal, is to perform well in the postseason and regular season. You know, you don't want to assume you're going to do well, but, you know, you want to save your best for at the end of the year.
Ted Wynn joining us on 95.7 The Game. He writes for The Athletic. He's also the host of the Just Win podcast. How do you view the NFC right now? Do you feel like the 49ers are still the class of the NFC? And then I guess my question would be, at what point and how do you measure the impact of no Ayuk and no Trent Williams? Does that, just the way you assess a team, do you think that'll leak into the year? Do you think they're fighting an uphill battle? Basically, where do you think they are in the NFC pecking order?
To me, they're still the top team in the NFC. I don't think the NFC is very deep, but they have, the top contenders are very strong. You know, you have the Eagles, who I think are going to bounce back with much better coaching. And the Green Bay Packers are a team that is rising up, and I think they're going to be one of the best teams. And then you have the Detroit Lions, who almost beat the Niners in the NFC Championship last year. I still think they are better than those teams, but I think the gap is getting a lot smaller. And I think not having Trent Williams and Brent Ayuk is definitely going to affect them in the beginning of the year. But like I said, it's all about how they reach that stride towards the end of the year. So it's really important to get those guys in. But yeah, I think the gap is much closer between the top NFC teams and the Niners than it's ever been, or it's been in recent years at least.
Hey, Ted, let me ask you this. I know it's a bit premature, but if the Niners had to pay Brock Purdy today, do you think he would reset the market, and do you think that would be a wise choice?
Yeah, I mean, I think with any quarterback, you know, just how the quarterback deals are these days, that the next one is always going to be the highest one. And Brock Purdy just has that kind of production where you can argue that he should be the highest paid quarterback. You'll very rarely see a new quarterback deal and it will slot in at fourth place or fifth place. You know, it's always going to be the next deal is going to be the highest paid deal. I think you can make an argument that he definitely gets a boost from being in this system, playing with these players. I mean, if you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, how he looked with the Niners and then how he fared without the Niners, he went from a potential Pro Bowl quarterback to a guy that's not even starting anymore. So it's hard to argue that there is a Shanahan effect. I just think with the trend of how quarterbacks get paid these days, he'll be the highest paid player, maybe by like, you know, a million or two, but he's going to reach that threshold.
Good stuff. Hey, Ted, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. That's Ted Wynn, courtesy of the River Islands guest line.